The swine flu scare of 1976. That was the year the U.S. government told us all that swine flu could turn out to be a killer that could spread across the nation. And Washington decided that every man, woman, and child in the nation should get a shot to prevent a nationwide outbreak, a pandemic. Well, 46 million of us obediently took the shot. And now 4,000 Americans are claiming damages from Uncle Sam amounting to $3.5 billion because of what happened when they took that shot. By far the greatest number of the claims, two-thirds of them, are for neurological damage or even death, allegedly triggered by the flu shot. We pick up the story back in 1976 when the threat posed by the swine flu virus seemed very real indeed.
Where did this so-called deadly variety of flu, where did it first hit back in 1976? It began right here at Fort Dix in New Jersey in January of that year when a number of recruits began to complain of respiratory ailments, something like the common cold.
Dr. David Sensor, then head of the CDC, the Center for Disease Control in Atlanta, is now in private industry. He devised the swine flu program, and he pushed it.
You began to give flu shots to the American people in October of 76.
October 1st.
By that time, how many cases of swine flu around the world had been reported?
There had been several reported, but none confirmed. There had been cases in Australia that were reported by the press, by the news media. There were cases in...
None confirmed. Did you ever uncover any other outbreaks of swine flu anywhere in the world?
No.
Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. April 1st, 2021. Thank you for joining me today. Thursday. Odd that I forgot to say the day, of course. Thank you for joining me today. The things we're going to talk about today are not surprising whatsoever to anybody in this chat. You will not be surprised about any of the things we're going to show you, but you will be shocked that it's not being discussed. You will be likely shocked that it is that your government's lying to you about it, that the mainstream media is lying to you about it. But nonetheless, it's not very surprising. One, because we've been talking about this repeatedly on this show, and most of you in this chat and this community are intelligent enough to go out and do your due diligence and look up things and information on all sides of a discussion, and you would have already seen a lot of this so far. But that is going to be a discussion about the VAERS reporting system, the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System is the acronym. And this is the location, the only location where anybody who is suffering from what they think is an adverse event, or rather a negative effect of one of these vaccines, that's the only place they have to go report it. And it's being dismissed and disparaged as some weird random list that conspiracy theorists are using, despite being an official location and the only place they can do so. And it turns out that the numbers we're finding from here, and I'll show you myself on the show today, are astronomical. Now, what we're hearing already is that people are going to abuse the system and they're going and they're lying. Okay, is that possible? Sure, of course it is. Is there proof of that? No, there's not. And there's no way they could even know that. They are they're saying this is the case because they don't believe this could be happening because vaccines are so good, or because they don't want that narrative to be discussed. In any case, we are seeing a exponential is not even the right word. You'll see for yourself how incredibly this is just skyrocketing in this year, not before, not 2020, in 2021. The reported deaths from vaccines has gone through the roof. Now, we're also going to talk about vaccines in other ways as well, and information coming from Israel and showing that, interestingly enough, all-cause mortality seems to be increasing and nobody wants to talk about it. Oh, look at this information right around this one topic around vaccines, but who cares about all of the increasing heart attacks and strokes and everything else that seems to be related to nothing except the vaccine? Well, we don't talk about that, though. Interesting. Now, we'll also talk about a few other things in regard to vaccines and vaccine passports is really what this will be about. Probably a shorter show than usual. I wanted to make sure I got a show in today because tomorrow is my birthday and I'm going to do my best to take the day off. But I'm so invested in what's happening here that if something big enough happens, I will probably come on and do a show. But I'll do my best to check out and enjoy a day with my family. But today was important to come on and talk about. So I want to start with actually a couple of quick notes in regard to the censorship discussion. Not going to take long at all on this, a couple minutes. The point is just to show you something that we were talking about just recently and that Patreon even denied and said, no, we wouldn't do that. Well, Patreon just charged me for all the people that I was supporting, which, by the way, I'd be willing to pay $11 to prove that Patreon is a lying, deceiving manipulator, which is what's happening right here. But at the end, on the other point would be I'm willing to continue to fund those people that I was already funding, because whether they're using Patreon or not, I want to support them, even though part of that does go to Patreon. In any case, the point is they have removed my account, kicked me off the platform, or I'll just read my tweet. Hey, Patreon, so you delete my channel, you kick me off the platform for political reasons, right? While I'm sourcing material, telling me that I'm spreading misinformation, even though that I'm backing it up with British Medical Journal documents and NIH information, but who cares? They hide behind mommy government skirts as you sell out your own users. Then you continue to charging me for a platform I cannot use. Are you aware of how ridiculous you look? Probably. They probably don't care, because this isn't about what's right or wrong. It's about doing what they're either being coerced to do by powerful people or what they choose to do because that benefits them in some way. In any case, as you can clearly see, they're charging me $11 as I'm not allowed. By the way, somebody also told me they went in to try to remove their subscription to this on my channel or whatever. And it just says you can't even engage with it. So I guess I'm just stuck paying $11.27 for the rest of my life, because that's really honest, isn't it? You know what it appears like to me? Appears to me to be that something that Patreon has kind of dug themselves into, right? They're deleting my content or Whitney's content or James Corbett or anybody's content based on what the government tells you have to do is probably not something they think through too far. They know they just do what they're told, because clearly they're reactive. They're cowards and they're doing what the government tells them. And now they find themselves in a position where I guess they've locked me out of being, it's sort of ridiculous. But what this shows you is that they are unaccountable. They don't care about you, your rights, your free speech. It's all a bunch of lip service if it comes down to doing what the powerful people tell them to do. I just think it's hilarious they're continuing to charge me as they delete me unceremoniously and remove the people that are paying for it. Unbelievable. Here, by the way, is just the actual receipt in case you want to see that it was actually happening. charging me for supporting the same people that I would continue supporting. In any case, let's jump over to the starting big topic today. And this is actually quite incredible. This is, I'm looking around. Okay. As many people were saying as well, April Fools, it's April 1st. Is this really a joke? Like, I don't even understand how they could walk away from a joke like this and act like it was all in good fun, but it's not. As far as I can tell, it's a completely legitimate thing. Via the Telegraph, as well as the Guardian, no more lockdowns. Britain will treat COVID like the flu, says Chris Whitty, the chief medical officer of England. So what does this show us? What does this show us? That now no more lockdowns. First of all, the question I keep asking, which we should be asking, is, okay, why, Chris? What new information happened that made you realize that now is different than you were screaming about a month ago, or that you were wrong, right? Which one? And if whichever it is, we have a right to see why you made this choice. And if you were wrong this whole time, then you have to be held accountable for the absolutely catastrophic damage you've wreaked on everyone's lives because you were wrong. And it wouldn't just be him, of course, it would be a lot of people. But the idea is, I argue that's not what, I mean, that's probably the reality, is they just decided to stop doing this. But they're going to have some kind of excuse. So what is the data? Right? Because my point is, the data was never there. We've always known this was incorrect. We've always known that the lockdowns were, I mean, if you're watching the show, because I was telling you this from the beginning, because that's what the actual data showed. That people were already back before COVID pointing at these things that had happened in the past as archaic and ridiculous and actually counterintuitive. Do you remember when Iran's government stood up and said, why are you locking down? That's crazy. Even though they ended up doing it anyway, they pointed that out and they were attacked and laughed at. Here we are. They're just a government like anybody else, so they quickly fell into line. The point is simply that they were wrong. So if there's new information that's coming along, we want to know what it was. Because that's the real point here. So nothing has really changed fundamentally in regard to what they were screaming we were all going to die about a month ago to now. So we need to know. But it's interesting because treating it like the flu is the other part of this, because treating it like the flu completely continues to suggest that this is not as serious as they keep saying it is. Now realize that this is being represented as if he's saying it's just as bad as the flu, and that's not even close to what he was saying. I'll show you what he actually wrote and what he said, or what he said and what they wrote about after he said it, because the point is he's ultimately saying something more alarming than that in the other direction. What he's saying is, this needs to continue. This will continue to be a problem, and we need to treat it like the flu, which means we'll just have new vaccines every single time, every 6 months, every year, every time we need a new flu. This is how it is in regard to the flu shot, right? There's different flu shots every 6 months or so for different hemispheres, and this is constant, despite them giving us this narrative all the time about how vaccines stop things or create immunity, despite it but it mutates every time. It's the same concept. They will continue to use this going forward. And so that's ultimately what Chris is trying to say. But interestingly, if you can get to a situation very quickly where you are no longer on lockdown and you do have vaccines routinely coming out and you're allowing people to continue to pretend to go back to normal, even though it's not even close, isn't that right there enough to show you that this is not as severe? It is, guys, and it's painfully obvious. If this was as severe as they were saying it was, they wouldn't be removing the lockdowns, because that's their entire premise. This is a slow transition away from the reality that they were wrong about everything. Or they lied to you about everything. You take your pick. Here's The Guardian. Chris Witty, society will have to learn to live with COVID in a similar way to flu. What's just really crazy is to stand back and realize how dramatic this shift is. From moments ago, and it's still going to happen, understand, people being censored for literally stating what they're now saying. And this is why people are becoming so uncomfortable, because there's a lot of people out there people that are being confronted with this that never expected this to be real, that would network were quote unquote conspiracy theorists, that are now being aggressively confronted with the reality that they're completely off their, they're wrong. They're flying by the seat of their pants, or they're completely lying to you. And they have been. It's really difficult for even the average person to not see that right here. As it says, Witty said the majority of experts believed COVID was not going to go away and it would eventually have to be managed in a similar manner to the flu, right? So when did they decide this, and what experts, right? Who cares? It doesn't really matter. We just need to tell you that smart people that we name as the experts believe this is always going to be here. So how long have they known that, right? Doesn't that mean that we deserve to know that? And shouldn't we be able to make choices based on the idea that this will last forever? Remember what I said in the beginning? If you knew that this would never end, would you still be allowing this to happen? Would you still be wearing masks and acquiescing to government demands if you knew this was the rest of your life? I argue the vast majority would say, hell no. And that's the point. And that's why this reality that this was never going to go away, I argue the plan from the very beginning, whether or not this is real in your mind, the idea is that this was never going to go away. They knew this. That's why they had the mRNA plug and play platform ready to go on January 11th and long before that, right? I mean, this is covered in their own documentation. January 11th was when they got this, and boom, 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 and here we go, up and going. 2 days later, giving vaccines. 2 days later. I'm actually going to cover that. I was going to go over it today, but I didn't want to spend too much time going over that specifically. There's an article from The Atlantic I'm going to go over probably tomorrow, the next day, talking about the mRNA, the future of the world. And it specifically goes over all these things I pointed out, that 2 days it took them. And they claim that's because we were so far ahead, even though they failed every time before that. Totally makes sense, though. It's crazy. There was 100% a level of foreknowledge and planning around all of this. That doesn't necessarily have to translate into this isn't real or this was a fake thing. But at the end of the day, there was an absolute level of foreknowledge here. Whether maybe it was just planning for when something like this were to happen, and they were ready and just waiting and lying in wait for him to initiate what they were going to do. Right. I don't believe that's what happened. But the point is, there's possibilities here. The idea of having the Blackstone bailout plan, essentially, for our treasury, for our government, our financial bailout plan, sentenced before this ever happened, and then acting like they made it up for COVID. And you can quickly look back and see that they made it long before COVID ever happened. So did they bail us out because COVID, or did they bail us out because they were already planning to and they covered it with COVID? Or the artificial intelligence coalition that Whitney's talking about and all their plans and how it's perfectly aligning with everything. I mean, on and on and on. Or the people that sold stocks and knew this was coming. How do we not see that people knew something? It says, in a bad year, flu can kill 20,000 to 25,000 people. Quote, it's not flu, he says. It is a completely different disease. which is really not even fair to say. It's actually quite similar in a lot of ways, including symptoms and the way it spreads and on and on and on. But they just want to be careful. Well, I'm not trying to say that it's the same and we're all in danger. Don't forget that. We're all going to die, right? Got to keep the fear mongering going, even though it's very clear we're not in danger. It says, but the point I'm making is here is a seasonal, very dangerous disease that kills thousands of people every year, and society has chosen a particular way around it. He's talking about the flu. So there is his insinuation. He's saying that we can just work around it like the flu, right? So that would imply we don't need to do all the other wildly inane things we're being forced to do, masking and distancing and not allowing to hug your family. And so how does that transition happen? If we're all in danger, how does it just suddenly go away? Because there's an illusion happening here, guys. It says, quote, what we have got to do is work out some balance, which actually keeps COVID at a new low, minimizes deaths as best we can, but in a way that population tolerates, and do as much of the heavy lifting as we can by medical countermeasures, meaning control, right? General lockdowns, light lockdowns, masking, distancing, the whole kind of a thing. But that's the new part of this, right? That's not going to go away. That's the whole point. So we're never, ever going back to that world without those things, because that was never the plan. Now, one thing I think is very interesting is, as we talk about, I think it was, what, 300,000 something we're talking about from 2020 in regard to the total deaths we're hearing from COVID. Do we realize that 400,000 people die every year from malaria? Like, we have to realize there's some context here. And yes, I mean, if that's what we're talking about, and we're talking about this like the biggest pandemic in the century, how is it possible that malaria is not more dangerous if it kills more people every year? It's just, we are being played into this. It doesn't have to mean that there's not something happening, but it means that we're being lied about what, how bad and how severe it is. Here is Kulvinder Kaur, MD, medical doctor. Her found, Chris Whitty, Chief Medical Officer of England. From now on, there will be no more lockdowns, and UK will treat COVID like the flu. That should also mean end of all unethical, unscientific, unconstitutional restrictions and any vaccine passport proposals, which is not what's happening, though. It'll be the opposite. But as Dennis Rancourt points out, which is actually where I first saw this, huge. And this is the best thing to think about. This is the most important thing to think about. As he says, all that COVID danger and fear vanishes in thin air, just like that. No variants, no overflowing morgues and hospitals. Bosses change their mind and poof, suddenly we're no longer in danger, right? I mean, that's an generalization of what's happening. I mean, he's obviously not saying that specifically, but this is the same. If they had done that and just said, oh, we're good, a lot of people would move forward thinking that's the case. And it really comes down to bosses changing their minds. Not about science, not about facts. All right, there's plenty of doctors, like we just showed you, who are clearly aware this is unethical and wrong. Now, on another point, just as is equally alarming and ridiculous, is the fact that despite, I mean, look, they know this, right? This is the point. This is why they know, or this is why they're taking these actions, in my opinion, is that we're at a point now where the actual vaccine administration is what is creating the biggest problem. And I don't think they understand how to deal with that, right? I mean, they've aggressively tried to make it seem as if this was, you know, COVID-19, which is, they're still trying. But at the end of the day, this one thing, from in my opinion, dashes that completely. You cannot continue to pretend this is something, you know, I mean, look, if this is COVID-19, you would have seen something quite different in 2020. What you're looking at right here, and for those on the podcast, it reads deaths in vaccine adverse event reporting system, VAERS, since its start in 1990. And you see the graph at most going above 200, 250 for every year. 2021 jumps up to almost 2000. That's the deaths in the year. Okay. Now this is unbelievable because there's only one real obvious correlating factor. Now, as always, there's correlation is not causation. There could be some unknown factor that we just don't see. That's always fair to point out. I don't think that's what's happening. What we're staring at, in my opinion, is the correlation with the vaccine being administered, starting pretty much right in December before, for the most, like the mass use is what we saw, leading right into where we are now. And this is alarming. As Dennis also points out, you know, I believe somebody told me this the other day. It's not Dennis. I believe it's a different pronunciation from where he lives. Denis, or I'm not, I apologize out there if I'm mispronouncing your name. Highly respect you. This seems relevant to public health. 8-fold increase in vaccine negative effects in 2021. And that's specifically in regard to death, these negative events leading to death. That's what this chart is, compared to the last three decades. I don't know how anybody can understand that or misunderstand that. This is an obvious, obvious reality. I don't think this is just vaccines either, guys. I think what we're seeing is a compilation of a lot of things. But you have to understand that this is people who are reporting this when they've taken the vaccine and they think that this is what caused it, or the family thinks that, in this case, it would be the family thinks this is what caused it. And so they go through the process, which is a pain in the butt, to send this in, to put in there that this person died. Now, understand that they're claiming, they're investigating all of this. So if there's all sorts of lies and people claiming things that didn't happen, you better bet we would be hearing about that. So, what two things, really? One, they simply don't have the resources to do that, and even though they're lying and pretending they are. And two, the ones they are looking into aren't lies. Otherwise, we would be told that we would hear about it. That person didn't die. You don't even have this person or whatever. You know, that's the kind of thing they're claiming, is people are just calling in, making things up in order to sell the idea that this is dangerous, even though it's not. Which is, what's the point of that? I mean, I'm sure there are some people out there who would just be angry, but by and large, do you really believe that people would just go to, I mean, I find that hard to believe with no benefit whatsoever. And in fact, potentially a legal problem. But for those that are rightly suspicious by looking at just simply a graph, here is the VAERS reporting system for you to look at for yourself. And I hope that people, and like I said before, this is obnoxiously hard. The way that this thing is set up just does not make sense. It's counterintuitive. It doesn't make any sense. But you'll see, I don't need to go into it, but if you go through this and try to like find a specific thing, like let's say you want to see all of the Pfizer vaccines from May of 2020 and, you know, and this specific side effect, it's just really ridiculously hard to get exactly where you want to go. And I think it's made that way. But on that point, here is the actual page itself, and you will see the corresponding years and the amount of people who died, right? It's pretty simple. And by the way, if you first of all, just right out of the gate, if you scroll down to, and just take note of the 1968, you got two deaths, one death, one death, one death, right about 1986. What do you notice? A sudden and dramatic increase. What happened around 1986? Oh, that's right. It was the act of 1986 where they removed liability from vaccine companies. But I'm sure that has nothing to do with the obvious and seemingly exponential increase in deaths that were being reported by vaccines after they removed liability from the companies that were testing their safety. Because, of course, there's no reason that would be something to look at. Of course, but this is how ridiculous the mainstream is, pretending like there's nothing there. But on top of that, continue forward. And it continues to increase, you know, gradually going down, up and down a little bit. But you'll find once you get to 2021, you notice something quite interesting, quite alarming, quite disgusting. That it goes from 106 reported deaths to 1,755. Now, we understand that throughout the years, there has been vaccine safety trials. There has been things just like we're seeing today. There's even been mass vaccination efforts going back, even, you know, illegal, unjust ones, 1976, 2000, I'm forgetting the date all of a sudden, but, you know, swine flu discussions we've had in the past. So it's not like it's, if you're going to pretend like, oh, it's because that many more people got vaccines, that's not the case. It sure played a factor, but we are staring at an unbelievably high increase in reported deaths that no one wants to talk about. How is that even possible? How is it the mainstream media is doing their job and they're not even pointing to this? It's because, well, you know, I'm always playing the game. You know, I know what's happening. They have their marching orders. They're not supposed to talk about stuff like this. Now, by the way, that number in and of itself, it's not even close to the full number because of a bunch of reasons. One of which is just simply you can continue to scroll down and see there's all these other like subcategories. This is all death. This is specifically death and the vaccines and the total years. That's how I put it in the data. And some of them are in subcategories in regard to, in any case, the point is that alone is incredibly high. But if you jump over to this specific report, which is very, this is actually one of the things that was referenced by RFK Jr. and the Children's Health Defense in regard to this argument that I've made before. Here's the full document you can read for yourself. Electronic Support for Public Health Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System. Okay, this is what they found. Oh, actually, what I wanted to make sure I pointed out was this is the principal investigator. This is, where was it, right? So you got performing organization. This is done by Harvard, right? So the point is just simply to recognize, and it's the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality. This isn't some, and you can see right here, U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. This is not some fringe side thing where you can dismiss as some, you know, unreputable side. This is, I mean, it should, if you're going to dismiss anybody for being unreputable, it'd be somebody like the Health and Human Services. My point is that if it means anything, it is mainstream. It's like pretending it means more because it's on, you know, the Wall Street Journal. But this is from the U.S. government. Here's what they found in their own study conducted by Harvard. Adverse events from drugs and vaccines are common, but underreported, which, by the way, that statement alone contradicts what they say. They act like they're so few and far between and rare. It never happened. That's not even close to what they found. But they found that they were common, but just underreported. And they know this. And here's the most important line. Likewise, they go on to say that 25% of people who in an ambulance get treatment and have some kind of like wildly serious event, most of them don't even report it, which is ridiculous to me. But it says, likewise, fewer than 1% of vaccine adverse events are reported. That is a finding by the HHS of the U.S. government conducted by Harvard. So if we know that only less than 1% of the reported issues, including death, are being reported, this is coming from the very same people, right? We can argue that 1,755 deaths in 2021 is only 1% of the total deaths, according to their information. Oh, and don't forget, there's another 1,121 that are just from unknown dates. Probably all from 2021, if you're being completely honest. But interesting and very telling. We know that there's something amiss here. We don't know the full picture, right? We don't know everything that's happening here. We don't know if it could be more or less slightly, but we know that something is amiss. We are not being given the full picture. They're hiding the danger from us. Why? I think we know why, but I think for the people out there that are trusting of these entities, you need to ask yourself why they're hiding this dangerous information. This isn't some fringe site. This is the only place people have to report what's happening. It's quite incredible. This alone is enough to show you that there is something wrong, and it is being aggressively covered up by governments around the world. Some of them seem to try to speak out about it. Great article from Unlimited Hangout in regard to the president of Tanzania, where it seems that this was a sort of a regime change assassination, right? We'll talk about that probably in the next couple of days. I'm having Whitney on to talk about that, but doesn't mean that it's an interesting discussion, right? This is the guy that disappeared and everyone's concerned about. Seems like there might be more to that story. But in any case, the people that choose to speak out, we say what happens to them, whether they're disparaged, dismissed, disregarded. This is enough to know that something is wrong. But you know what else? An increase in all-cause mortality. As the Swiss Policy Research, you know, that fringe conspiracy theory website that's highly regarded, Israel. Why is all-cause mortality increasing, right? And this is the same point we're trying to make to everybody, is that this is not as simple as saying, oh, look, you know, the vaccine, like if we don't only get anaphylactic shock, then that's nothing from the vaccine. Like there's a lot of these neurological effects, right? Blood clots, strokes, heart attacks, things that they aren't associating with the vaccine that are happening all over the place. I mean, we just talked about how AstraZeneca was proven to be causing blood clots. So they change their name and they approve it and go forward, right? Isn't that how honest people work? Sort of like what they did back in the 1976 one, where they switched them out at the last moment and pretended like nothing was wrong and caused a lot of illness and harm and death. Yeah, good times. Same government, by the way. So in Israel, they've done a mass, I mean, they're getting praised by all the mainstream. Look at them doing such a great job with all the vaccines. Well, there's more to the story. I mean, look, even just in regard to how it's actually having an effect, the data does not seem to suggest what they're making it out to be. But that aside, just even take their lie at face value about how this is saving everybody in Israel. If you see a dramatic increase in all-cause mortality exactly during vaccination, well above the average, that's enough to point out. That is enough to concern. That is enough in the past to say, whoa, pause. We're going to pause this for safety concerns. Right. But now they counter that by going, but COVID is so dangerous. We're not going to worry about that. But COVID's not that dangerous, even according to the CDC's information. So why would they make that lie up and put you into more risk for something that they also know is not as dangerous as they say it is? Because I argue whatever's happening right here is the point. This not even necessarily the all-cause mortality, but whether this experiment is the point, or whether the vaccination is the point, or whether the test in and of itself is making sure this vaccine works a certain way. This is about the vaccine. It is not about your health. If it was about your health, any number of things would have happened differently because of all of the alarm, because of all of the problems and the reports. They don't care about it. By early March, Israel had vaccinated about 90% of its 65-plus population, which, by the way, right then should have been where it ended. But they went on to coerce and manipulate their population to go even further. Because who's at risk? 65 plus, 60 plus. But it's not about actually risk. It's not about risk. It's not about immunity, right? Remember, in Israel, if you have natural immunity for the rest of your life to COVID-19, doesn't matter. You still have to get the vaccine, prove you have it to be able to interact with society. How does that make sense to anybody? Especially when the NIH has said that the lasting immunity can be gained by COVID-19 naturally. And so far, more so than we're seeing from the actual vaccines. I saw a report today saying at least 6 months, mostly two. And even in regard to the testing, they're talking about every so many hours, every couple of days. Remember, those tests that we just talked about have stuff on them that can increase your risk of all sorts of things, including miscarriage. COVID deaths have been decreasing since the end of January, it says, as expected, right? That's the point, whether or not the vaccine was happening. Although, this is the most important point, not any faster than some countries with very low vaccination rate, like South Africa. That was the point Alex made, right? So if South Africa has very low vaccination, Israel has the highest in the world, and you compare them and it's basically the same thing, doesn't that show you the vaccine's not the point in regard to in a real discussion? That if you're actually trying to lower cases and they're lowering just the same without it, vaccine is not, but it's not about lowering the issue. It's not about your health. It's about testing whatever this is and getting this the whole process, the mRNA plug and play platform, to be the future going forward. Concerningly, it says, however, Israel has seen a renewed and continued increase in all-cause mortality, meaning just anything that causes death, including vaccines, since mid-February. In fact, by March 21st, Israel reported the highest excess mortality of all countries participating in Euromomo, which is this, compilation site of information. The highest excess mortality. How does that make sense in any way, shape, or form with the narrative of what this thing is? It's the best thing ever. It's saving lives everywhere. Well, it doesn't seem to be the case. In contrast, many other European countries currently report a post-winter wave negative excess mortality. So the higher the vaccine rates over there, it seems to be increasing all-cause mortality. Now, again, as always, correlation is not causation. To say that that is 100% what's causing it is not something you'll hear from me on this show, because that is not a fair statement. Do I think that's the case? I do. I think that based on all data. But we have to point out, as an honest report that you won't get from the mainstream, that it's certainly possible there could be some other thing. In contrast, it says many other European countries currently report a post-winter wave. I just read that. The cause behind this renewed increase in Israel, in the Israeli all-cause mortality, appear to be unclear. According to Israeli newspaper Ynet, the director of an Israeli clinic explained, this is interesting, that they are currently seeing in Israel, according to the director of their clinic, a murky wave of heart attacks. That sounds normal. Must be that normal early 2021 wave of murky heart attacks. The thing that all, it's so obvious this is correlated with whatever the new, what's the obvious new thing, right? What's different here? The director believes that this might be due to the persistent stressful situation and the neglect of preventative medical care. Now, what's interesting is people will probably be eager to say, well, COVID-19. But here's the problem, you see, because within their narrative, that's not possible. These people have already been vaccinated fully. So to pretend like this is being caused by COVID after the fact undermines the vaccine. So that's why they're not saying that. Just as easily could be something like that, because we know this is not stopping transmission whatsoever. You can catch it, you can spread it, it's on and on and on. But interestingly, as he says, a stressful situation. So now we're going to argue that the lockdown is hurting people now because you want to undermine something else? Before though, no, the lockdown saved lives. And it's so ridiculous how they're just jumping through hoop and moving goalposts and just anything. It's so irrational and confusing, and that's almost the point. Neglect of preventative medical care. Yes, exactly. This is what we were saying 6 months ago that you are all, you governments were making happen, hurting people. And then when we see an increase in all of these issues, we go, well, because lockdown, isn't that what we just said? It's only because now the primary point is to make sure the vaccine happens at all costs. Even if it's admitting that they were wrong about something they censored us for saying 6 months ago. Although quite a few cases of post-vaccination heart muscle inflammation, heart failure, and heart attacks have been reported in Israel since December, and there's three examples here you can look at, the hospital director argues that a, quote, connection to heart damage from it has not yet been proven to be significant. Did you love that? So until we have a study from somebody we want to pretend we trust that says unequivocally that this can do this thing, I don't care if we've got 10,000 heart attacks 10 seconds after vaccines. Well, until we have a connection that makes it proven, we're going to pretend like we don't know for sure. And yes, there are, if there are 10,001 strokes every day across the country and they have 10,000 that day, they'll go, well, we do have 10,000 every year. And that's what they keep doing. But when you apply that on the other side in regard to deaths and you know, around COVID, they'll err on the side of anything even close being COVID-19 as because it works for them. While on the other side, it has to be definitively proven to be the vaccine because vaccine good at all costs. Here's the best part. On April 1st, today, Israeli data just happened to disappear from the Iromomo website. You know, because that's how honest groups work. When it starts to become quite clear that you're obviously hurting people, you delete your information and move on. Now, let's see how great the mainstream media jumps on that, right? Because we know they're going to do their job and jump on this and be like, Israel's hiding their increase in all-cause mortality, and that's a big story. Nope. They'll ignore it. They'll hide it. They'll disparage it because everything goes away if it creates vaccine hesitancy, even the truth. Quite incredible, isn't it? The fact that it can even just be deleted and that's okay. They are hiding everything from you and in real time, deleting, changing definitions. I mean, how do we not see what is happening? It could not be more clear. Now, in the same point, by the way, do you realize we're seeing the same thing in the United States? This is, of course, in regard to 2020. Right? But my point is the same. The things that we were doing to ourselves are why this is happening. If we're looking at the data right now that shows this is not even close to as severe as they said, and it's barely, it's not less than the flu for people under 60. And even over that, we have to consider the fact that they're combining pneumonia and influenza in the overall numbers. And it's not a secret. It's right on the website. We also have to recognize the PCR test itself is creating a huge illusion about what's actually happening when they decide to increase testing, right? So that is not fair to say just because we see this number that we have to apply it to the thing that's statistically not even close or even capable of causing what they're showing. This is because of the lockdown, because of the masks, because of all the things that are increasing your risk of illness. This is my opinion. And I think that's very clear when you begin to correlate this with other issues around the world that we're seeing similar things. The actions of your government are increasing your risks. And I don't know how that can be any more clear. In any case, regardless of whether you agree with that, the numbers around COVID-19 do not justify the increase they're claiming about 345,000. And remember that 260,000 of that or so was dumped the day after the year ended, because that's normal, all at once, right? What they pretend is, oh, well, the site catches up. Well, it doesn't catch up all at once with one number in one place. That's not how that works. It would catch up slowly over the process of, we saw one dump of a big number right where it mattered when they needed it at the end. And that's ridiculous. So, and again, remember, if we're talking 400,000 deaths every year from malaria, context, guys, context. We are even their number, which we know has been massaged and manipulated, is not even remotely close. Remember tuberculosis, 1 million people died. This is not even close. You're being deceived. So as we see these increases, maybe we should look to where the real cause might be coming from. Something like this, maybe, you know, as the increase in mortality, maybe it's something like this. Despite Chile's speedy COVID-19 vaccination drive, cases soar. What do you know? Must just be a coincidence, right? Only happening in Chile. Oh, wait, despite vaccination success, Hungary sets daily record for COVID deaths. So now we have an increase in cases over here, increase in deaths over here, all perfectly in line with the specific and focused vaccination success, we're told. So they massively increase vaccines and we suddenly see a massive increase in the problem it's supposed to stop. And you don't see that in places with the lower vaccination rate. How do we pretend that this isn't really clearly happening? Yeah, I have this up so I wouldn't lose the actual article. Because remember how I show you Mail Online just has this weird thing of like reverting to this weird fake homepage. I don't even know how to describe it because the actual homepage is not even what that looks like. Maybe it is. Let's see. Oh, yes, I guess it is. It reverts to the homepage if you leave it there long enough, which is strange. Anyway, thank you, Burmese, for sharing this. What he says, when will people understand this doesn't end unless we stop accepting their solutions and take our freedom back? Couldn't agree more. It says, just 100 vaccinated Washington residents test positive for COVID-19. As always, remember that the PCR test is, that's what this all is. So it's just as likely that half of those are fake false positives. So you could say 50. It still is interesting. As New York woman reveals, she got the virus a month after her second Moderna shot and attending an indoor wake without a mask. Right. So the point in this article is going to be like the mask. But that's not the point here. If they're arguing this thing is supposed to protect you, it's clearly not. But we know this already. It's just important to see that even the mainstream is being forced to admit that they've been lying about this repeatedly, calling it approved, claiming that this thing is safe and effective, despite that not even being remotely close to the truth. Now, on that point, I had this off to the side in case I had a moment to talk about it. I think it's important that we recognize about what approved, and there's, you'll see in these articles that they'll call it approved. I didn't even search for this one. Let's see what it says. There it is. Vaccine trials showed that the three vaccines approved in the U.S., Moderna, Pfizer, Johnson & Johnson, prevent between 65 and 95% of symptomatic infections. Approved, it says. The Daily Mail, right? Okay, so some of these are saying emergency approved, which is also fake news. That's not even a thing. They're desperately trying to avoid the word authorized because it's not the same thing. And they know some people are picking up on that. So if you just simply search for emergency approval, it's not a thing. There's not an emergency approval. There's emergency use authorization and there's approval by the FDA. That's it, right? So when you hear these different terms, very clearly recognize that they're being dishonest, that they know they're being dishonest. They're lying about, they're using terms that they must know aren't real, or they're that bad at their job that they don't even know how to look. So that way, in that case, you shouldn't even be listening to them anyway. In any case, they're a bunch of either ignorant people or liars. I think it's probably both, but more so the latter. Now, here's the point in regard to that. Here's from the UNC Health. What's the difference between FDA emergency use authorization and FDA approval? This as of 2021. Now, by the way, if this is, it's funny when you actually go back and look at the differences. I wanted to use the more current one just so people can see what it's currently saying. But even this has been tailored to be more about it being a different process as opposed to being an emergency thing that's done for extreme reasons, which is what it really is. So understand that. But that's not what I wanted to show you today. What I wanted to show you is even their, like this, think of this as the way they changed the definition of herd immunity or vaccine. Very slimy, sneaky, manipulative thing where they quietly alter the definition of something so they can then point to it and go, see, you're wrong, which is ridiculous. That's what this ultimately is. But guess what? Even though they did that, they don't even follow the manipulated information. Says the US FDA has released its first three COVID vaccines for emergency use, and others are expected to follow. Some consumers may have questions about what emergency use authorization means and how it differs from normal vaccine approval. Now it says in public health emergency manufacturing and approval vaccines can be streamlined through emergency use authorization. Now that in and of itself is not even an honest statement. It's an emergency. It's not streamlining. You don't get to just do that one day because you want to make this happen faster. You need an emergency to do it. There needs to be an actual emergency to where you can say this is such an emergency under the very definition that we then are now allowed to use this process. They don't even go into that, which is just so wildly dishonest. I mean, you could just simply look up this term alone and you will see that that's the case. Forgetting for a moment that it literally says emergency in it, use emergency authorization. But it says an EUA does not affect vaccine safety, it says. And see, this is new. They're saying this because, and by the way, that is a false statement too. It could, and they know that, because you're rushing. You could pretend that's not the case, but you're doing something faster than usual because it's an emergency. That's the point. Because it does not impact development, it says. Now, here is the part that they're getting wrong right now. They're saying, such as research, clinical studies, and the studying of side effects or just negative effects and adverse reactions. Instead, it speeds up manufacturing and administrative processes. Now, here's what they're saying. Ultimately, they're telling you that what happens is these things can happen at the same time, right? So it shows you development is normal. Then it goes, oh, well, if you're doing emergency authorization? Well, it's simple. All you do is do production and testing at the same time and then approve it and then distribute it. Ah, okay. Well, that's not what we're doing right now. Normal approval means they approve it, then they test it, then they go through another approval, then production, then distribution. See? So right now, what we did in our country is develop, I guess you can call it development. It was a 2-day process of taking computerized genetic code and pumping it into your platform from something other than this current situation and saying that that works. Then you got emergency authorization. Actually, technically, they started doing testing, which, by the way, doesn't make sense, does it? Since they didn't have emergency authorization, but we know Moderna was already testing. Then they got emergency authorization, which, by the way, they were already producing before that. But the point is, both of these things are happening while they're already giving the vaccine. You see that that's after even approval? I hope we see that. So emergency authorization is just supposed to streamline these processes so it happens faster. And then still, but at the end of the day, we did emergency use and jumped right to giving this to people in their arms. That's just simply not what this is saying. All vaccines follow the same testing processes, whether they are approved for emergency use or through a typical license. Clinical trials are conducted in 3 phases, they say. Okay, that again is not what happened. They're making it very clear, saying, look, even if it's emergency authorization, we still do this this way. That's not true. At least that's not what they did. Phase 1, phase 2, phase 3. No, they combine these things. We talked about it. Most of them, 1 or 2, some of them, all of them. So the point being, they're not even following their expedited emergency path. They just are flying by the seat of their pants. And remember, at the end of the day, that you have a right to say no. The interest of and welfare of you have the priority over the sole interest of science or society, according to the UNESCO document from the UN. 2005 Universal Declaration on Bioethics and Human Rights. Very important. Now, going back, make sure I didn't lose my place here. Right, so continuing to see these vaccines given and continuing to see people get sick after the fact. It's hard not to miss that, right? We're talking about the all-cause mortality increase, the increase here, the idea that we're seeing this happen all over the place. Chile, Hungary, they're getting the vaccines. We're seeing an increase directly correlated with the administration of the vaccine, right? Or it could be stuff like this too, that are increasing that all-cause mortality. The fact that we're going, oh yeah, we know that this thing causes blood clots, but there's no evidence to restrict the use of the shot. Keep using it, guys. That too, you know, may possibly or absolutely 100% is having an effect on people, right? If you have proof, Norway and Germany, the Wall Street Journal will report straight up this is the case, that we now have a link between these things and the blood clots are being caused in some cases by this vaccine. And they go, well, there's no evidence of that because we don't have it in front of us. And I know they proved it over there, but we don't like what they said. We're going to go off of our one trial. We don't see the evidence. There's plenty of evidence. There's 2 different regulatory agencies of 2 different countries that have lots of evidence. You don't want to look at it, so you pretend it's not there. Maybe that's increasing people's possible risk. What do you think? Right? So as this continues to happen and they continue to shield their eyes like children from the real risks of this thing, we'll see an increase just like we're seeing now. Or things like this. COVID-19 vaccinations of pregnant mothers also protect newborns, they say, studies suggest. So I'm sure glad we're testing on unborn babies and pregnant women with something that is not even technically approved yet, that has actually been done in the wrong process in regard to even the emergency use authorization, something that's never been successfully done until now, something that is an experimental vaccine, even according to the NIH. But yeah, all you mothers out there letting them test on your unborn babies, I don't even know what to say to that. It makes my skin crawl. We're talking about people. I mean, would you do this with any other thing? I mean, would you go test some other kind of vaccine? It's only because you've been convinced this is like the end all be all most important thing. And because of your politics, you feel like it makes you a good person, which means you're not even a good mother. But the idea that you're willing to sacrifice your child's safety for your own virtue signaling is disgusting. It's just incredible to me. But the point being, do we think this testing on unborn babies, maybe, and women, maybe increasing people's risk and all cause mortality? Maybe. Absolutely. Same thing they're doing. They're already testing like this in Israel. Pfizer's vaccine is 100% effective, they say, in preventing COVID-19 in children ages 12 to 15. Pfizer, right. So they're right now testing on children. Right now. It's already happening. Pfizer and BioNTech. Now saying that they're submitting their clinical information to the FDA. The phase three clinical trial conducted in the U.S. Oh, and by the way, but they're not totally not safety testing anymore, right? All the people out there going, they're only doing efficacy, right? This, just close your eyes, you know, earmuffs, guys. If you're out there, you don't want to see the truth, cover your eyes because this is happening. Phase three clinical trials are conducted in the United States involving 2,260 patients between the ages of 12 and 15. Safety trials. Gotta love it, right? You gotta love how ridiculous people are about screaming things they think they know because they've blindly trusted mainstream media. And they actually, some of these people really think that they're just wildly intelligent because they choose to trust blindly what their authorities and their betters tell them. Like, that's the kind of propaganda they're getting from mainstream media. They pat you on the head, right? You're the smartest person in the world because you listen to what we say, right? That's the point. We're staring at safety trials. It's just obnoxious. This keeps happening. Half of the kids received the vaccine and the others received a placebo. Now, this is what's interesting to me. We're talking about a situation where kids got they're not talking about everyone here being infected with COVID-19. We're talking about a bunch of kids who already have a almost near zero possibility of even getting sick, right? And we're giving them vaccines, which can create problems as we're seeing everywhere. Right. And then we're seeing people given a placebo. In any case, these kids are all generally it seems like a ridiculous thing to do. Then they say they see cases, symptomatic cases. And what do they do to find that? PCR test. So are we just talking about kids with sniffles that a PCR test seems like the case? But regardless, if you say we give the vaccine to people on the group of kids, you give the vaccine, a group of kids, you give the placebo. And you get some cases judged by the PCR test on the side where they got the placebo and none on the side of the vaccine. Does that prove that this vaccine is effective in this age group? And you can literally put a percentage on it and say 100%? Not even close. Because one, this is a small grouping of kids, whether it's thousands or not, and they're in a group where they're already wildly unlikely to get it. So the point is, it's not 100% when they don't get it. It just simply means these people didn't get it or didn't have any symptoms or didn't get the PCR test or whatever you want to talk about. But they're taking something very preliminary and just simply going 100% effective in preventing kids. So then your moms out there will go, I'm going to give my kids this vaccine. They're not even at risk, guys. I don't understand why we would even give them something that is dramatically increasing. They have a higher risk of adverse events to this vaccine than they do to the actual COVID-19. And that's a statistical fact. I don't understand how this is even happening. It's arguably because Israel is pushing this narrative that everything will continue until you vaccinate kids. Usually they're the ones that let those things slip through, right? Israel being really aggressive with their narratives tend to let the truth slip out. Now, reading through this, it says half the kids received the vaccine and the others received the placebo. During the trial period, 18 cases of COVID-19 occurred in the placebo group. None occurred in the vaccinated group. Right? Now, also ask yourself if, let's say, they test the people on the placebo side with a PCR test and get, you know, certain positives here and there. And then they go over and they test the other side. And they test them and they get a positive, but then they go, let's test again to be sure. They test again. Oh, they get a negative. We'll go with that one. You wonder if that's happening? I'm sure. Well, especially when we're talking about a group that is wildly invested in the success of this thing for, I don't know, profit. So, excuse me. Gee, I wonder if they would be willing to do something like that. Remember, because you can do the PCR test and you'll continue to get different results. So if they continue to do it until they get what they want, why would we think that's not possible? And this is why you don't trust companies that have continually been caught lying about safety results, right? Good a time as any to bring up the vaccine. I always forget how I looked this up. There it is. Gotta remember that violation tracker, right? So this is a good point for people who haven't seen this, right? So we're talking about people that are doing these tests, companies that are doing these tests, right? A company with a profit motive. This is being conducted by Pfizer and BioNTech. Here is Pfizer and their companies and how much they've paid. Penalties, $4,660,000,000. Healthcare-related offenses, almost $3.4 billion. Specifically, False Claims Act, over $1 billion, 19 different claims, meaning they lied about things. They said things could do that they couldn't do. They lied about safety results, right? That's a specific one. Safety-related offenses, $100 million, 11 different times, right? So if they're going to lie about it this many times, about safety, about what it can do, why in the world are we trusting them now? Because that's what's happening. Now, it says, what's more, the vaccine was well tolerated with side effects generally consistent with those observed in participants 16 to 25. So they got the same bad, terrible side effect. Apparently so. And that's okay, though, because we've already been convinced that those terrible things are for your own good. And it means you're doing it means it's working, which is completely not true. All the participants will continue to be monitored for 2 years following their second dose, as we continue to tell you, pharmacovigilance. Currently, the Pfizer BioNTech vaccine has emergency approval. There it was. I forgot where I had seen that. Emergency approval. So here is live science knowingly misrepresenting the reality. As I said, just simply look up the term emergency approval. It doesn't exist. So either they're really, really bad at what they do, or they just felt like hiding the fact that it's not approved under the word approval. Emergency approval for those ages 16 and older. And again, recognize that means they're testing on these kids with something they didn't test in the larger studies. The other two vaccines that are being widely distributed in the U.S., Moderna, Johnson & Johnson, have emergency approval for those 18 and older. Incorrect. Emergency use authorization. Crazy. And this is how you can always game these results to end up looking like the way you want them to. It's how this is always going. Now, here is something I think this was shared by Really Graceful. The Pfizer BioNTech vaccine is said to be, good stuff, New York Times, powerfully protective in adolescents. Right. This is citing exactly what we just looked at. Said to be. Right. So here's the kicker. Not only are we talking about them looking in a very weird way, claiming this means 100%, even though it very plainly does not, or at the very least, it's there's so many caveats and the PCR test issues in here that make this ridiculous. But the biggest part of it, the data have not been reviewed by independent experts. So you have the New York Times, you got Live Science, you've got basically every mainstream outlet just happily parroting good news about the vaccine because good news is what they're only allowed to talk about in regard to vaccines or, you know, foreign policy or, you know, murdering families overseas. Like they don't talk about that stuff, you know, but the data hasn't been reviewed. So when next time we come out with something that has a, you know, groundbreaking, like, I mean, how about the British Medical Journal that comes out and points out the reality that this is not what we're being told? Are they going to jump in and go, well, it's said to be that this pandemic isn't true, but we'll wait for the data. No, they'll hide that. They'll ignore it. They won't even look at it. But when it's on the side of something that they want to be the truth or the narrative they're told to promote, this is what you get. You can have a company that is a criminal, a company that has been shown to be gosh, I wanted to find. Oh, here it is. Nice. You'd think I'd have these things on hand by now. Shown to be a habitual offender. Right? For those that haven't seen this one, this is also one I recommend you take a read. I've went over the most of this in a show before, but this is from Health Policy on the NIH National Library of Medicine, talking specifically about Pfizer and what they call them. Pfizer has been a habitual offender, persistently engaging in illegal and corrupt marketing practices, bribing physicians and suppressing adverse trial results. Suppressing adverse trial results. Since 2002, the company and its subsidiaries have been assessed $3 billion in criminal convictions. Now, there's the worst part. It was $3 billion at the time, right? Now, where were we? Now it's over $4.6 billion. So it means they never stopped. They kept lying, cheating, stealing, and manipulating data about adverse events. But here we are, trusting blindly what they say this means. The New York Times, great journalism, guys. How insulting is that? It says the Pfizer BioNTech coronavirus vaccine is extremely effective in young adolescents, perhaps even more so than in adults. Wow. The company reported on Wednesday that we haven't looked at, that we haven't vetted, that we're happy just to blindly parrot. Good job, Apurva. Crazy. No, I'm not even trying to make fun of it. I just didn't expect to read that. The point is, ultimately, guys, they are happy to say what they're told. They are reporting what they were told. That's not journalism. Now, it says no symptomatic infections were found among children aged 12 to 15 who received a vaccine, which automatically translates to 100% effective all the time. Nope. Depending on regulatory approval, vaccines could begin before the start of next academic year for middle school and high school students and for elementary kids not long after that. Right. All these kids that have basically a 0% chance and have a higher risk of getting severe adverse events. But let's make sure they get this, though, because it's for their health. Does that make sense? The companies announced the results in a statement that did not include detailed data from the trial. Cool. Which has not yet been even peer reviewed nor published in a scientific journal. So Pfizer gets Washington Post and New York Times on the phone and goes, here's what we want you to say. Here's what we just found. Remember how that went last time? Oh, that's right. It turned out that AstraZeneca was cherry picking data and using it how they wanted. Or even Pfizer, where they said something and it turned out to be incorrect because all of these groups parroted only what they said without any due diligence. Isn't that what they say we do? Isn't that funny? Still, the news drew praise and excitement from experts, right? Yay, experts, we're all, because Pfizer says something and we cheer because even Trump said that, right? We should listen to Pfizer and Johnson & Johnson. They say, quote, and look at this. This is a legitimate quote from an expert. Oh my God, I'm so happy to see this. This is amazing. Well, that makes me, so that's really scientific, right? This is a guy who hasn't seen anything other than a statement from Pfizer, who's supposed to be an expert, an immunologist at Yale University. And all I can say is, yay, great, this is amazing, because vaccines, hooray. He says the results in children were A++. These are results that have been written down by Pfizer. We have nothing to back this up. What is wrong with these people? Data from Israel suggests that vaccinating adults alone can significantly decrease the numbers of cases, but long-term to hit the herd immunity threshold, we'll have to vaccinate children. You know, that herd immunity threshold that you reach by continuing to spread the virus from person to person. Oh, wait, is that wrong? Okay, well, if the vaccine doesn't stop transmission and it continues to, if you can catch it and you can still spread it, as we continue to show, as Israel was one of the biggest cases where thousands of people kept spreading it after the case, you can't create herd immunity because you keep spreading it. Okay, so how are they arguing that this vaccine given to anybody, let alone children, will stop this from happening or create herd immunity? Why is there no mainstream journalist that's willing to ask that painfully obvious question? I think you see what that shows you. Either they're not in it for truth or they know what they're not allowed to ask. This is painfully clear. They can't keep pushing herd immunity if we know this thing won't stop you from getting it or spreading it, or, you know, whatever it is we're talking about here. The trial included 2,260 adolescents aged 12 to 15. Two doses, 3 weeks apart, the same amount scheduled for adults, a placebo or salt water. And we're going to pretend like the difference means that everything works the way that they want it to. Vaccine drive for younger teens may begin in a month. Going forward, testing on children. That's the point. Right. And, you know, the point, again, with all these things is, you know, maybe these kind of things are causing an increase in all cause mortality. Right. Testing on people, maybe testing on people with side effect. Maybe that's causing an increase. Or maybe it's something like this. Right. Maybe it's the fact that all of us are being forced to wear masks, and a lot of us in different places. And those masks are verifiably increasing your risk of infection. That's a fact. As I've shown people many, many, many times, this is a fact that you should know, that people are unwilling to show you. The only random controlled trial in regard to masks from the British Medical Journal themselves, showing you quite clearly, moisture retention, reuse of cloth masks, and poor filtration may increase your risk of infection. They know this is here, guys. They know this, including the fact that they show you the penetration of cloth masks by droplets, 97%. 97%. That's your bandana, right? That's even the small, the different types. Polyester is not necessarily cloth, but it's the next one under this in regard to the uselessness. I'm trying to think of the other, but in any case, the most used masks are the cloth masks. Even medical masks, 44%, half the time. Remember, the myth of stopping some to reduce the ability to be infected is a myth. It's wrong. As we showed, we just showed you the doctor talking about this, the large droplets are shown to have dead virus. The idea is that just one single speck can cause someone to get infected. Random control trial, the first study of cloth masks. And yet they pretend like it's not there. So this, increasing your risk of bacterial pneumonia, increasing your risk of oral thrush, which is basically a yeast infection in your mouth, which has already been verifiably shown to happen. Talk to any dentist right now. They are through the roof. It's a gold mine for them. They're making all kinds of money. But it is through the roof. Cavities, teeth falling out, swollen gums, periodontal disease, gum disease, which is increasing all sorts of damage. Yet that is, it leads to heart failure. It leads to heart disease, which is the number one killer in this country. And we're making it even exponentially worse. It leads to systemic inflammation, which leads to everything. But as I said, just so you guys remember, this person points out, in real pandemics, stuff like this would be an actual biohazard and you wouldn't see them strewn about everywhere. It's disgusting. As I put out, exactly. Post your images of these masks strewn about. You'll find them everywhere. And tag me, please. I'm telling everyone out there. I will retweet them. This is the real pandemic here. #MaskRevolt. And also, interesting side story. Now, this is one of those ones that I'm not sure. I tend to feel like these feel a little suspect. Not that it didn't happen, but like this is more of a way to undermine. Like, so if there are proven side effects of health issues with masks going forward, they're going to go, oh, this is why. It's because of those weird masks from China or wherever else, right? And that certainly adds to it. I mean, this is actually a quite alarming story. Now, the point of this, potentially toxic masks distributed in schools and daycares in Quebec. So this idea is essentially, and I believe these came from China, right? Made in China. So the two points to look at this, is it possible that China did this with the malicious intent of getting people sick with weird things? Sure. I wouldn't put it past any government, including the U.S. But there's no evidence of that. So it's important to point that out, because I see a lot of these sites out there, you know, telling you this is China doing this in China. And it's just, you know, that comes from a very partisan standpoint. China is an authoritarian, dangerous government, just like the U.S. government. And I have no doubt that they would do something like this. But evidence matters, doesn't it? On this case, what we do know is they're now saying these gray and blue masks shouldn't be used. They're saying one model of the mask distributed to Quebec schools. So again, to children, doesn't that seem to be where this all happens? Children, daycares, may be dangerous for the lungs as they could contain potentially toxic material, according to a directive sent out by the government. Radio Canada obtained documents showing that Health Canada warned of the potential early pulmonary toxicity. By the way, so that's already what masks are doing anyway, by the way. So this is my point. That's not necessarily exactly this, but increasing your risk of pulmonary issues, of bacterial pneumonia. But this has fibers, apparently. It says, if you have this type of masks in stock, we ask that you stop distributing them and keep them in a safe place now, which is a weird way to put that, isn't it? But they're saying they felt like they were breathing in cat hair, is what a lot of these reports were saying. But ultimately, there's weird fibers or different things on here that people are breathing in that are increasing their risk of these pulmonary toxicity issues. But what you'll find is that there's a lot of this stuff going around. And you realize that even regular masks, this is the point, guys. There is no actual process. There's no regulatory agency that makes sure these masks are made to code or spec. They're not. They're just pieces of cloth with folds and strings. And anybody can make them and sell them in the gas station. And most of those are, I mean, look, they already came out and said, you know, bandanas and certain things are no longer allowed. The CDC did that, but no one's enforcing that. People are wearing whatever they want. As long as there's something on your face, people are looking at you like you're complying. So the point being is that there's all sorts of things, microplastics and negative things, people breathing in constantly. And that's just as much of a risk. So the funny thing is all we point out is, you know, China sent these and this is causing that. But we need to realize that all of these things are affecting our health. This is just more dangerous, because these appear to be either accidentally made this way or made in a way they were intended to hurt. But that doesn't even need to happen to hurt you. In any case, it's just one more reason to run screaming away from anything like this. And it's your choice. It always has been to say no to something like this, to wearing something like this. Now, moving on to the vaccine passports here. This will be the last part here. A couple slides we go through just to realize this is happening, right? And this is what's so frustrating, as we've been calling this out from the beginning. So many of us, right? I remember Spiro right out of the gate, we were talking about this, right? Whitney, right out of the gate. This seems like where this is going. The next vaccine challenge, building a workable passport app, right? The fake news thing, that'll never happen. Now we're working out how to make the app. Like, it's funny how we're already three steps into this and you got still up people acting like it's fake news. They are building this for you right now, guys. That's what this is. Here is the next one, why vaccine passports may be inevitable in the next phase of COVID-19. South Korea to issue blockchain-protected digital vaccine passports. Derek Rose, I believe, just did a great show in regard to blockchain in general, or just, you know, the technology. Because there's all this very weird conversation happening out there right now about, and you guys know my opinion on this. I've made it very clear. I think I'm actually going to have Derek on for a show about this to talk about, you know, the full discussion. Because what's interesting is it's, as I keep saying, very obvious that blockchain technology as a whole, and even just cryptocurrency specifically, is being used or trying to be used to manipulate us, to control us, right? It's obvious this is tied up in regard to things that are happening with the Great Reset, technocracy, but that does not mean that blockchain technology as a tool is something that we have to run from screaming, that argument is a fallacy, right? The idea that it's either one or the other, you have to cringe, or, you know, the line is being drawn, that to me is intentional. That to me is something that's meant to divide people, think about it this way. This is the argument I was just talking about with Derek. Remember we talk about the internet, right? It's a DARPA project, right? So the internet is something that could have been our downfall, right? Now imagine a world where at the time it happened, we all went, whoa, the internet, that's bad. You know, here's the line in the sand. You're either on the internet side or you're on the side of natural freedom or whatever the weird fallacy is being presented today, right? So if we had done that, what would our future look like today? Sure, obviously the internet is being used in a way to attack us, to control us, to hurt us. And I would even argue, go as far as to argue that was what it was designed for, just my opinion. Nonetheless, how did it end up? It ended up where this is one of the most important tools we have to connect with each other, to fight back, right? So in the same concept in regard to anything, and the same analogy, right? A hammer can be used to beat someone's head in, and it can also be used to build a house. So it's about how it is applied. And in regard to blockchain technology, this is the idea. I mean, for instance, I find it incredibly ridiculous that of all things, Bill Gates is using our XRP, Ripple, which we used to call FedCoin, because it's obviously the establishment's version of trying to use it. And that we should be alarmed about. Really, to be honest, you should be, as I always say, not alarmed, but skeptical and question all of this stuff, any of it. But at the end of the day, it's about using whether you invest or not, but what's the word, supporting, standing behind the ones that you believe in, the platforms out there that are fighting for decentralized internets or fighting for, you know, the kind of things, the peer-to-peer economies that allow us to circumvent the government control, right? That's the whole point, guys. And that's why it's so it's frustrating to get to the situation where it's, yet again, we fall into this duopoly. It's either left or right. It's only right or wrong. It's one side or the other. And it's very, very rarely like that, right? Very few things in life are absolutes. And when they end up being that way or presented to you that way, it should raise a red flag. Doesn't mean it's always the wrong thing, but it should raise a red flag, in my opinion. But in this case, that's what I see this as. Obviously, this is very alarming. South Korea to issue blockchain protected digital passports. Now, their argument here will be probably the idea that I don't remember. They didn't mention the article. I remember this now. The idea that ultimately it's for your safety. Right? Your protection. It's to make sure that your identity is safe and so on, right? But you don't need blockchain technology to do that in this case. You don't even need our identities necessarily. The idea is that this is about controlling you, right? And that's the point. Interesting to think about. And this is alarming, especially going forward with the great reset of the technocracy aspect of this and the 5G, Internet of Things. Obviously, this is where it's going. We need to be very cautious, but I caution against taking an extreme position on anything like this. It's a tool, guys. We need to use it as we can to fight back. Now, on the idea of specifically ways to use this to control, right? Because here's how these vaccine passports are being presented, right? We're not going to force anybody, but we need to have some kind of tool to enforce that, you know, if people don't want to allow vaccinated people, and it's being put on the individual. It's being put on the businesses. Right? It's being put on you to enforce, just like the masks, as we said the other day. The only reason this mask illusion, all this illusion is continuing is because we are allowing it. Police say they can't enforce it. They're, like they said on the tweet, the military is not marching the streets. So it's about these business owners that are choosing to take some righteous moral stance in their mind to stand up for the, you know, we ought to wear a mask in the store. And to be totally honest, as this goes forward, that, in my opinion, that's probably going to dramatically affect their business. Which the only reason not now is because businesses are short supply. People lost everything because of the government action. But once this becomes, you know, whatever that looks like in the future, and people are still saying you have to wear a mask to come in and you have to do this, my guess is people will push back against that. And they'll probably lose everything because nobody will want to use their store. But if they make something like this happen, if they roll out vaccine passports, well, the people that are leaning into it will benefit from it. And that's probably why they're doing so. But it's cowardly. You are abusing other people's rights or using the government to pretend like you can in a situation where you shouldn't be, right? These are not something that you can just step on. These are my inalienable rights, God-given. And here we are, watching it happen right in front of us. It'll be used to coercively push you into getting the vaccine, where you can't live your life, as we said from the beginning, either societally or economically, where you will be pressured. You won't be able to live your life normally. You won't be able to conduct your life normally without having this app. Now, here is, this is the one I just read. I just went back. That's right. This was the point. So now we're at a point where they're using this concept of where it's not the government, per se, right? It's the employer that it has. Now we're giving the employer the option to basically make the call for themselves, and the government will back them on it, which, by the way, makes it the government anyway, in my opinion. This is from Ontario specifically, the Ontario government. This is talking about reasons an employee may take infectious disease emergency leave, which makes it sound like a choice, right? Where you can choose to take leave. Well, that's not really what it turns out to be, in my opinion. The employer, first of all, it says the employee is in quarantine, isolation, voluntary or involuntary. So recognize that right off the bat, it's something that might not even be your choice simply because you're sick and they say you are. But most important point here is about how it applies with the employer, right? So there's going to be plenty of bosses out there that think they, you know, they have to do what they're supposed to do about the vaccines because they're a good citizen, because they're completely snowed by the manipulated propaganda. But it says the employee is under a direction given by their employer in response to the employer's concern that the employee might expose other individuals in the workplace to a designated infectious disease, obviously in this case, COVID-19. So what they're saying is your boss can be like, I think you might get people sick. They don't even need to prove that. And because they think you might get people sick, it says the ESA does not require employers to pay employees during that time. So you can say, you have to go home because I think you're going to get us sick. Doesn't that sound like discrimination? Can't that be abused? Can't that person be like, I don't like the way you're acting today. Go home because you're going to get us sick. At least that's what they say, right? This is so clearly erring on the side of give them all the power they need, even if they're going to abuse it, as long as it errs on the side of get the vaccine. Here's the worst part. It says examples include where the employer is concerned that employees who have not received, of course, you guessed it, the COVID-19 vaccine may expose others in the workplace to COVID-19 and tells them not to come to work until they've been vaccinated. Okay, so remember the point here. The vaccine does not stop transmission. And here we are again with a completely ridiculous, nonsensical statement that pretends as if the vaccine would stop the transmission. And once you get the vaccine, well, then you're no longer at risk to other employees, except that's not true. So how is this stuff happening, right? We know they're telling us that it won't stop transmission. We're seeing real world examples of thousands of people getting sick after two doses of this vaccine. So this is completely hinging on the illusion that that vaccine will stop things from happening when we know that it won't. And your boss can say, go home, you don't have the vaccine. And that becomes a political thing. Even though whether or not you do, you can still spread it to the other people at your store, at your restaurant, wherever. Isn't that unbelievable? This is government mandate that's controlling your life based on something that doesn't change the circumstances. This is a medical regime, guys. This is what this is. And they ask the specific question, vaccine passports, do they violate HIPAA? And of course, spoiler alert, the short answer is no, of course, of course. But as it says, in March, New York became the first state to formally launch a vaccination credential app, which is, by the way, is already happening. I told everyone this. People still pretend like it's fake. In the U.S., it's already happening. Partnering with IBM, of course, shocker, you know, Eugenics Central, to produce the Excelsior Pass, which officials claim will fast track the state's opening. Even though it's not even close to what's happening because people aren't getting it and because you can still spread it anyway. So why getting it fast tracks anything is beyond, again, we know it's the illusion pretending this thing will do the thing we all know that it won't. So we can go back to a normal. It won't happen because it'll continue to act like this. Right? It's just about playing with the narrative to get you to punch that thing into your arm. The concept has received backing from a number of airlines. We know this. Derek wrote about it. Internationally, Israel has already launched a green passport, which allows people to attend public events, while Denmark has one in the pipeline. Remember, Israel, only with vaccines, natural immunity doesn't apply. Does that make sense? Then says, so do the vaccines, the passports violate HIPAA? And it says the short answer is no. Of course, Lisa Proskin, managing attorney at the Albany-based Proskin Law Firm, says a number of reasons the Excelsior app and the vaccine passport in general do not violate HIPAA. There's a number of them, she says. And you'll find this answer interesting for two reasons. It says a key reason for this is the user of the app is the one providing the information. Oh, so it's your choice, apparently. The medical professionals who would be covered by HIPAA. Excuse me, not medical professionals who would be covered by HIPAA. Now, this is the point we keep hearing, right? It's not a doctor. right? You're at the Waffle House getting a vaccine, right? Or whatever it is. You're not giving your personal information to a doctor. So suddenly the HIPAA law doesn't apply, even though that's, I mean, technically, yes. But this is, in my opinion, an obvious manipulation of this. It says, quote, "I don't think it falls within HIPAA. If the vaccine required something with a doctor and the doctors were providing all this information, well, it might be a little different." You see how that goes? But the way it stands now, the person doing it, the person downloading the passport, is the one all entering all the information. What happens when you're forced to do that? What happens when the time comes that you can't go back to work unless you do this? Well, is it still your choice then? They'll say so, because you're choosing to. You could choose not to work. You could choose to let your family starve, right? That's the point. So it's always your choice. They're making a scenario where it will always be your choice. Coercion. So by that point, when it becomes your choice, well, you're entering it freely. So now it doesn't matter. That's ridiculous. This, at the end of the day, seems like a way to separate the process, right? Informed consent. Like, we're not, you realize how this is streamlined. You're not going to a doctor anymore to get something. You should be in a hospital or in a doctor's office when you're getting something like this. Not the Waffle House, not the bar, not any number of Starbucks, any number of these Walgreens, any number of these places where they're being given. Knowing that we're seeing people that are collapsing or people who are having strokes or all kinds of anaphylactic shock. And these are all being reported. And we're seeing these moments after it's given, but people are stopping in the middle of a frozen highway to give out vaccines and letting people drive home because that's totally normal. This is a ridiculous scenario where the doctor essentially been cut out. And now you've got governments telling you what you should do in your health. And that's why the, well, HIPAA's not involved. The doctor's not even there. It says, no shirt, no shoes, no vaccine. And this is also an obvious fallacy and manipulation. It says, again, the voluntary status of the vaccine passports, along with the business's right to refuse service under most circumstances, provide both a legal cushion and incentive for their use. In no way does that seem to suggest that that's completely yes, you know, like it absolutely they're in the right. No, it seems like, well, it's under most circumstances, it gives them a legal cushion. That sounds like a no to me. The idea is that we're playing the law here. It's voluntary is why that's the case. Secondly, the point, even if it's voluntary, the idea that they can require you to have a vaccine to go in your store is completely backwards and wrong. There's no way you can require a medical treatment to go inside a business. This will end up becoming something in a courtroom. And it doesn't mean it will fall our way. Regardless, we are correct. This is wrong, especially because they have people that can't even get it, people that are immunocompromised, people that are, you know, I mean, this is discrimination, guys, period. You could call it discrimination against immunocompromised individuals. You can call it discrimination against people that don't believe in vaccines. It's discrimination. The idea of shirt and shoes does not have negative health side effects. It doesn't have something that punches through your skin. You cannot pretend like they're the same thing. This is an obvious manipulation. And this person legally, if she as a legal person, if she's making, I hope she loses respect from all of her peers to make this kind of stupid argument and pretend like it's legally sound. Quote, "You don't need to have one," she says. "And if you go to a business that uses the passport and you don't have one, they don't have to let you in if you don't have shoes on or you have a shirt on." I think she lost the plot with that sentence, like, because that doesn't even make sense. She starts off by talking about passports and then says shoes and shirt. She just doesn't, she just kind of doesn't make sense. She's basically saying conflating passport with shirts and shoes. Again, it's not true. It could very well be a case of no shirt, no shoes, no vaccine, no passport. They don't let you in. It's discrimination. It's wrong. There are, and it's also completely illegal to say someone needs a medical treatment. There are areas where businesses are not allowed to discriminate. Refusing to serve someone based on their race, religion, sex, or national origin violates federal civil rights laws. But COVID status does not fall into any protected categories. Except, you know what does? People's religious rights to refuse things like aborted baby fetuses or any number of things, right? Just specifically even just taking the mRNA vaccine. Talking about people that have a right to refuse something that's pushed into their skin and injected into their body. You have a right to say no. And if your right to say no is based on your religion, that's discrimination. It's discrimination anyway. But yet, just because we haven't shoehorned it into one of these labeled categories is the way that they can pretend it doesn't make sense. We all know this doesn't make sense. We all know this is wrong. If this was any other kind of medical treatment, we would agree it was wrong. But because we've been manipulated and fear-mongered into thinking we're all going to die, a lot of you people out there that are cowardly and scared aren't allowing yourselves to see how incredibly wrong this is because you're scared. It says, quote, "I think it would be a big problem if it were mandatory." And this is what I find interesting. She is now, this is a legal individual who is telling you right here that they can't make it mandatory. Despite someone like, you know, Alan Dershowitz saying it's totally fair. My argument is it may get that point. Hopefully it doesn't. But you remember, what was her title again? I forget. Ah, shoot. In any case, somebody who is I can't find it. She's somebody who is a lawyer, right? And I forget what her actual title is, but somebody who has the right to speak on this in regard to law, even though I aggressively disagree with her in regard to this first point, which I believe is her erring on the side of vaccines are good at all costs, because that's why she's being tapped on for this article. But in this case, she's saying, "I think it would be a big problem if it were mandatory, because you can't make the vaccine mandatory, period. That's unequivocal. You can't." It says you can exclude people for not being vaccinated, but you can't force them to take the vaccine. Isn't that interesting? So if you were to require or mandate the app or the program, I think you might run into some legal problems. Remember that. Remember that. She says that as vaccines fall under medical treatment, individuals can choose not to receive them. Well, yeah, exactly my point. But if you can choose not to receive them, then that means you can't be removed from a business for not having one because it's a medical treatment. She must know this. Quote, "We have so many freedoms." This is such a, this is why I think this statement is just ignorant. Listen to what this says. "We have so many freedoms," which I can't even stand when people say that. That is meaningless. You're free or you're not, right? You don't have freedoms. That implies your government is giving you certain things. I have this freedom and I've got that freedom. These aren't objects, right? That is in and of itself a manipulation. But going forward, "We have so many freedoms and we're allowed to pick and choose." This person fundamentally doesn't understand what freedom is or our rights. Anyway, going forward, "You can always choose not to have medical treatment," which is really what this thing would be doing. Exactly. "We don't mandate, for instance, flu vaccines or chickenpox vaccines. The only immunizations that are mandated are oftentimes in schools. And even then, there's an exception. There has to be an exception for why you're not vaccinating your child." It says vaccinations aren't actually required for clearance, though, through New York's Excelsior app. Users can also receive clearance through a PCR test pass, which, guess what, is valid for only 3 days. Doesn't that seem convenient? So the people making the PCR tests are profiting wildly. Ethylene oxide that's on the tip of some of these treated and some of the most used PCR tests. And as I even showed you within the documentation from their own information, it very clearly shows you there's a residue that is left, but they claim it is beneath the dangerous levels. But we also showed you in the documentation of the chemical that it builds up in your body. So the point is that it can increase your risk. It's just one more part of this. So at the end of the day, that's part of that risk, but you're getting one every 3 days for how long? Forever, right? Maybe you don't want the vaccine. That's fine. You get a PCR test every 3 days. Or guess what? An antigen rapid test pass, which is only valid for 6 hours. Somebody is wildly profiting on this. This is a gold rush. Remember that study, the article we did about that person in government that broke off and started a PCR company? Clearly they know what's going on. "The Excelsior pass itself is not mandatory, of course. And other proof of vaccination or COVID-19 status may be used." It's not mandatory, of course, but you have to use this if you want to continue to do certain things. Not mandatory though. This is the manipulation. Now to finish up, guys, remember, as these are happening, right now in your face, as it's literally happening, remember how many articles we've had that were deleted for talking about exactly this, exactly what these things are and exactly what they're building, how they've deleted and censored the context, the videos about me saying now the things they were calling fake news are now actually happening, deleted, right? This is the reality. Why? Because they don't want us to be able to point out that they were wrong or that they knew they were hiding something. They never do. But the good news is there are some places that are pushing back. Nebraska will not participate in any vaccine passport program, so says the government, Pete Ricketts, and the governor. And this is good news, but as always, the proof is in the pudding. So we'll see where his narrative is when it comes to action. Hopefully, he'll stand behind this. And I do see a lot of pushback against this. So hopefully they will. I mean, whether or not this is because they think it's right, they know it's politically beneficial to them right now to stand with what their people want. And this is a very passionate discussion. So if most people in Nebraska don't want this, him doing this will guarantee his reelection, right? You can see how this can go. It doesn't necessarily mean that they believe in not forcing you to do what's beneficial for their campaign, right? Here's another point. As Will Nail points out, we were sent these wristbands that are meant to help identify people who have been vaccinated to each other without having to ask. Do you think this is a good idea? They're available for $3. Got them from Got the Vaccine, Not the Virus, and a percentage of profits goes to the Jigsaw. Yellow armbands. What does that remind us of? Right? I mean, how ridiculous that this is something. I mean, this was almost sort of a joke from a lot of people, right? The idea that they would be labeling people. I mean, it's almost unbelievable. But here we are. This is the reality. This is a apartheid reality. And as always, to point this out one more time, the consent, as the United Nations and international law points out, is up to you. The consent should, where appropriate, be expressed and may not be withdrawn by the person concerned at any time for any reason. And that's about any preventative, diagnostic, or therapeutic medical intervention, including vaccines. Then it also goes on to say, scientific research should only be carried out with prior, free, expressed, and informed consent, right? So people being tested on right now. That's the point. But it also says the information should be adequate, provided in a comprehensible form, which it's not. And we already showed you that where their point, they're calling them out, where they are the ones saying that they're not doing that, right? This is the study from October 2020 on PubMed, where they're calling them out, saying very clearly, COVID-19 vaccines designed to elicit neutralizing antibodies may sensitize vaccine recipients to more severe disease than if they were not vaccinated. And it says quite clearly that the specific and significant COVID-19 risk of antibody-dependent enhancement should have been and should be prominently and independently disclosed to research subjects currently in vaccine trials, as well as those being recruited for the trials and future patients after vaccine approval. So they're hiding this from you. The idea that your body is beginning to attack itself. That's what antibody-dependent enhancement is. They saw it. They knew it. They were warned about it. And now here's even PubMed and specifically, I forget what group this was. In any case, we're talking this National Library of Medicine. This is a study posted calling this out, saying that they're hiding it, that they should have made it prominent. They didn't. That your body is attacking itself because of these vaccines. Right? That's to this point. The information should have been adequate. It wasn't. Provided in comprehensive form, it wasn't. Should include modalities for withdrawal of consent. Clearly, I'm not seeing that. And again, reiterates, consent may be withdrawn for the person concerned at any time for any reason without disadvantage or prejudice. That includes vaccine passports. They are breaking the law, guys. International law. But since when has your government cared about that? Finally, slightly good news to realize that there is pushback, guys. A Belgian court has ruled that all COVID-19 restrictions need to be lifted within 30 days or the state will be excessively fined. Looks like everyone's moving to Belgium, huh? The court found that the government did not have the legal standing to put the restrictions in place. Time to pick up that mantle and go forward. Pick up the baton, guys. Belgium started the rule. They are calling them out. They don't have the right to do this, and they're doing it everywhere. It's time to stand up, guys. Never been more clear. Now is the time, lest we look back 30 years from now and go, God, I wish we would have stood up right then when we had the chance. I love you all. Thank you for being here. Question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.